This election is critical, especially for the lives of the unborn. Select states have abortion on the ballot. They're more interested in protecting abortion instead of the innocent unborn children who can't speak for themselves. Maybe you know your state is one of the guilty ones, but if you're not sure, please find out before you vote. We have a list of states and the measures they're trying to pass. Visit afaaction.net/life to keep our preborn babies safe in the womb. afaaction.net/life.
It's Fire Away Friday. Fire Away Friday. On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword. Exploring the Word. It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
God the Father has given Jesus the Son the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess, all in heaven, all the things in earth, all the things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2, 9 through 11. And with that scripture, because we were in Philippians earlier this week, we welcome you to Fire Away Friday. This is Exploring the Word with Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. So honored you're listening. Now, here's the telephone number. If you want to call in with a Bible question, we would love to hear from you. It's 888-589-8840. Bert, we love Fire Away Friday, and we love to hear the questions from the listeners, don't we?
We do. That way we get to hear more people and get those questions, and we want to answer questions that really help people grow in the Lord, and we enjoy that. Discipleship is a part of what Exploring the Word is about, and we want people to grow. And when you know what the Bible says, it helps you to know God better. And that's what we want to happen here. Well, Alex, one more thing I want to do before we get too far into this, because we get so excited about the questions and the people coming in. Sometimes I forget other things that we might need to do. And that number, you're calling it right now. People, I see the lines are getting busy. 888-589-8840. But Operation Christmas Child Collection Week is coming up. Those shoe boxes are being filled. They're being gathered at many churches, and they'll be collected November the 18th through the 25th. And we're looking forward to seeing how many those shoe boxes and where they'll go. They'll go to over 100 different countries, so many groups of people that need to know the Lord. And this is exciting time of the year when Operation Christmas Child operates with those shoe boxes going around the world, isn't it, Alex?
Well, it really is. It really is. And we've heard so many great testimonies. In fact, usually, we probably will again this year, we'll have somebody on from Samaritan's Purse. The shoe boxes, they take a toy and some items to a boy or a girl, and the gospel as well. Bert, do you remember last year we had a delightful young adult lady on, and not only was she serving with Samaritan's Purse, but as a child she had gotten a shoebox and was evangelized through Operation Christmas Child. So I just rejoice. Bert, every church I'm in, they do the shoebox ministry. It seems like no matter where I am in the country, they're packing those shoeboxes, and it warms my heart because I know it's going to not only bring joy to a little child, but it's going to bring the message of Jesus to them also.
And it's connected with a local church or the possibility of planting a church. A lot of churches have been planted because of Operation Christmas Child. So you can go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC and learn to find out the drop-off places. If you need some help in picking out the toys, that can help you in so many ways. So make that a priority. Make this a part of your Christmas tradition. And it is, again, samaritanspurse.org/OCC. So, Alex, what a joy it is to be connected with them and working with them. And we've enjoyed it for several years and want to continue. So we ask that God would just bless that and take the gospel around the world through Operation Christmas Child.
Yes. Well, we're going to go to the calls in just a minute. It's 888-589-8840. You know, Bert, yesterday was October 31. It's really kind of hard to believe we're in November now. And I always think about this. I always mention it. I remember studying church history and Martin Luther and folks. It really is a fascinating story how we call October 31 Reformation Day, really. People say Happy Halloween. I say Happy Hallelujah because, you know, we're still riding on the ripple effect of the faith, courage, and obedience of Martin Luther and salvation by faith, not human works. And now we're in November, but I don't know. I thought about that yesterday, how one man's obedience to proclaim the gospel that we are saved by putting our faith in Jesus, the world is still reaping the benefits of the obedience of one man. And I know there were others during what the historians would come to call the Reformation, but it was like the rediscovery of the gospel, and there were a lot of others that ultimately would participate. But Bert, I think we need a rediscovery of the gospel in our world, in our times. And let's pray for that. If you don't know the gospel, it's that Christ died for you and you can put your faith in Jesus and know that you're right with God. But for those of us that have met Christ and you know the good news of the gospel, just like the people who preceded us, let's live it, let's proclaim it, let's invest our life that the world would know.
Amen. Let me add one more thing to Martin Luther. Not just obedience, courage. What he did was very courageous. It wasn't some afterthought. It wasn't a quick thing to write 99 theses out and look at this. It took deliberateness. It took courage. It took obedience. And so that's what we want to do today. Have that obedience and the courage to speak the truth in love and to do it as unto the Lord. And so we're praying that. Well, Alex, we got people who have called in with their questions. Are you ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's do it. Where shall we begin this edition of Fire Away Friday?
Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Kenneth. Kenneth, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Yes, I was hoping I would be the first one. I'll make this as quick as possible. Jesus said he is our Sabbath rest. The Ten Commandments say, observe the Sabbath. Okay. I hear a lot of arguments saying that, well, the Christians moved the holy day of the week to Sunday, and there's a lot of chatter about that and how that happened. But I began a few months ago observing the Sabbath, and I have an orchard and various pecan and fruit trees, citrus trees, and I lost all my citrus trees in 20 and 21, 3-foot-long freezes. Okay, here's the deal. When I started observing the Sabbath, I had citrus trees that I have been mowing over. I've been mowing over them, coming back, sprouting out of the ground above the graft, which mean they are the good that produce good fruit. It's nothing but a miracle because I cut those trees down below the graft.
Amen. Kenny.
So it's nothing short of a miracle, and there's nothing that says I can't observe Shabbat and still observe coming to church on Sunday.
Amen. Hey, Kenneth, let me just share with you. We find no disagreement with anyone who wants to celebrate the Sabbath because it is a day. It was God set it aside. After he had created, he set aside that day to recognize and look what God has done. And he did it in the law. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus Christ came and kept the law, didn't necessarily do away with all he did away with all the ritual sacrifices that had to be made, but it was the celebration of the resurrection. Alex, I think Kenneth may be on something. Do both of them when you can, brother. They're both to be celebrated, aren't they?
Well, they really are. And, you know, Bert, I think that taking a day of rest, because the word Shabbat in the Hebrew means to cease or rest. So Sabbath is a day of rest. Now, on a spiritual sense, because Jesus fulfilled the law, we don't have to keep a Saturday Sabbath to be right with God, to show that we are putting our faith in the Messiah, to show that we're believers. Now, I want to be clear, the early church did not worship on Sunday to, quote, change Sunday to the Sabbath. Impossible. No, they worshiped on Sunday from within about 4 weeks after the cross, because that was Resurrection Day. And so the church, Christian believers in Jesus, have worshiped on Sunday since within 30 days of Calvary's cross. That's according to James Dunn, Gary Habermas. So Sunday was the day of worship because it was Resurrection Day. I do think, just like we tithe, and look, I'd rather have 90% with God's blessing than withhold the tithe and have 100% and not have God's blessing. And I think it's that way with our time, to take a day of rest, whatever day you want. I mean, Romans 14:5, Paul says, one man esteems a day above another. But we're not to judge each other. Bert, we've had people call this show, and they're like, you guys are in the wrong because you're not urging Christians to keep a Saturday Sabbath. And I always kind of ask, for what reason? I mean, if you want to keep a Saturday day of rest, that's fine. But in a salvation sense, there's no need to religiously observe a Saturday Sabbath because Hebrews 4, Christ is our Sabbath. But I do think, just like tithing of our income, I think taking that day of rest, God does bless that in our lives. The sixth are more productive when we really do take a Sabbath, but not for spiritual legalism. Do you see what I'm saying?
You're saying it, and you said it well. Let me make this statement. From the very beginning in the garden all the way through, God always has some limits or set aside. Don't partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil. That's, you know, the 10th, the Sabbath day, because it's a recognition. So when you come to celebrate who Jesus Christ is on Sunday, and you're recognizing him, you're set it aside. If you want to do the Sabbath as well, praise God. But listen, it is not legalism anymore, Alex. That's the great part of it. But that rest, he is our rest. But having that day, I want to just tell you, I think we need to have that limited time where we just set it aside from routine as best we can. And listen, we appreciate that, Kenneth. Thank you. Let's go to Texas, or stay in Texas, and talk to Jeff. Jeff, go right ahead, brother.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead, brother.
Man, I've been reading the Bible quite a bit here lately, and I watch YouTube every now and again, and I watched about Enoch and how it kind of fills in the gaps. I was just curious, should I even be messing with that kind of stuff?
Okay. Well, Alex, let's save that on the other side of the answer. We'll talk about the book of Enoch. We've done that before. And we'll come back to that, Jeff. So wait on your answer. You'll have to wait about 3 minutes. But, Alex, let me tell you another thing that's important. Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We've got brothers and sisters around the world. We need to pray for them. So on Sunday, be sure and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are imprisoned and even dying. We'll be back with more right after this break. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying.
Yes, we're using Matthew West's song all the way up through Election Day, which is this coming Tuesday. And speaking of next week, Alex, Monday's going to kind of be a different kind of show. We're going to talk about a biblical basis for a nation and voting and in the United States participation. We're looking for having a guest. So it's going to be a little bit different Monday. Really looking forward to it. But we are praying that God would intervene on our behalf. Have mercy. And we want to say to those of you, go and vote godly. Vote according to policies more than personality. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I voted today. Angie and I went and waited, and we early voted. I wasn't going to early vote, but I wanted to make sure that we did. And I will say, in our part of North Carolina, they were reporting record turnout. And so please pray and please vote, and maybe make sure that, you know, where your address is and all that, that you are registered, and pray for this nation and vote. Bert, we'll talk more about this Monday, but I feel like we're so blessed to have a constitutional republic that, yes, based on biblical principles, and we love this nation. Our home is heaven. But I sure am grateful for a free America, aren't you?
I am too, but my citizenship is in heaven, but I'm living in this world right now. So yeah. I need to be stewards of what God's given me right now. So yeah. Alex, the question was about the Book of Enoch. Could you help Jeff out on that?
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second. And by the way, I want to unequivocally, as emphatically as I can say it, the 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament books that we have in our Bible, it is the canon of Scripture. There's no part of the Scripture that's been missing. There was a rumor that during the Reformation, some of the reformers forcibly removed part of the Bible. That is false. The Bible you have, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew through Revelation, that is the Bible. Now, that being the case, though, there have been a lot of interesting historical documents. Now, the Book of Enoch claims to have been written by the great-grandfather of Noah, but we really have no historical proof that that is true. And it was translated into English in 1917, so over 100 years ago. You know, it talks about fallen angels that tried to procreate with human females, much like Genesis 6, and they're called like watchers. Let me just say this about the Book of Enoch. Neither the ancient Hebrew Torah ever viewed it as Scripture. Now, while the Book of Jude makes reference to it, it doesn't call it Scripture. So, Bert, you know, the writers like Paul in Acts 17, clearly he was familiar with Cretan poets, just like preachers today are very familiar with everything from the works of Shakespeare to the writings of Billy Graham. But just because somebody, you know, gives a nod or a quote to something doesn't mean it was Scripture. So the Book of Enoch is an historical curiosity. contains some things that are just wildly inaccurate. But it might be fun and interesting to read some of these things, but they are not God's revealed word. And I don't think we should view them as such. No Christian or Jewish leaders in times past ever did either.
Jeff, we hope that helps. And again, what Alex said is so true on some other of the non-canonical books. You can read them and find some interesting things about them. But when it comes to the power of God and the sword of the Spirit, it is those books that we have, 66 books, 39, and then 27 in the New Testament. So thank you for your great call. Let's go to Virginia. Melvin, thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to ask a question about salvation. So I've been a Christian for a long time now, and I'm just wondering, is it possible for a true born-again Christian to ever lose their salvation, either because they struggle with sin, you know, or have had sin addictions for, you know, long periods of time, or have grieved the Holy Spirit? Is there a point where you can just get to a breaking point where God just says, hey, you're all done, you've passed the point of eternal salvation?
Okay, Melvin, thank you. This is a question that has, I would say, been a part of the conversation for centuries. And let me give you a scripture, Alex, and I know you'll give other scripture, but the ones that always come to my mind is John 10, Romans 8, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. And I'm just going to read that, and I'll throw it to you, Alex. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Alex, you can talk about it being, you know, the false teachers and everything. But when you look at that, and he, verse 18, he addresses little children and talks about the people that's walked away. That Alex, if they'd have been with us in the first place, a true believer, they continue in. It doesn't mean they can't backslide, but usually you see them hopefully come back to Christ before death happens. But if you die in faith, listen, God understands that, and I believe with all my heart, according to Scripture, he takes you home to be with him. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I do not think a truly born-again Christian could ever lose their salvation. I think we are secure in Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that we have a license to sin and, you know, go get wild and live it up because, hey, I got it, I can't lose it. Bert, if somebody had that kind of a cavalier attitude, I would question if they had really experienced the love of Jesus. I do think, Bert, we are to understand what it means to be positionally in Christ. Now, we're not saved by works, and we're not kept saved by works. But like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things are made new. So here's what happens. This is really beautiful, folks. When you put your faith in Jesus, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. You died for me. I accept you and your work as the payment for my sin. Dear Jesus, please wash my sin away. Save me. I believe in you from this day forward. However you phrase it, but you're beginning a relationship with Jesus. A lot of beautiful stuff happens. Your sins are washed away. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. So, Bert, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are a new creation. We're in a different category now. Now, if we could lose our salvation, all this stuff would have to be undone. And we go revert back to being the old creation. And I just don't find those verses in the Bible. Now, a Christian can stumble in sin and succumb to temptation, but that's not about our salvation. That's about our fellowship. In fact, I'll say this, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. If somebody feels really convicted about sin and you've got habits that you know you need to break with God's help, Guilt and contrition over sin, in a way, that tells me you probably are a born-again believer. Because if you weren't in a relationship with Christ, you probably wouldn't even feel conviction over iniquity. Would you agree?
I would agree completely, because the Bible just shows us that it is in Christ, in Christ alone. I think Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "We're created unto good works, for His workmanship." And it talks about the word continue in Christ, stay in Christ. And so, Alex, I agree with you fully. And so we hope that helps, Melvin. And you're saved by grace, you're kept by grace, and you have dying grace. It is God's grace. It's not because we've worked to get it, and it doesn't make it sense to work to keep it. No, God gets the glory as we follow Him. So we hope that helps. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Philip. Philip, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call, brethren. I just wanted to tell you what a blessing you are. I've actually called in before, and I'm a truck driver, spend about 8 to 10 hours a day in the truck, and it's a blessing just to listen to you two guys. And if I can just get a little comfortable with you here, I feel like I know the both of you because I listen so much. But this call is really twofold, and please apologize if I take up more time than normal. But the Lord has recently called me to preach and teach. And the one thing I know about the enemy is when Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted, the first thing the enemy did was come against Him and wanted Him to prove who He was. So twofold, Ephesians 4:11, Paul said He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and the Lord has also asked me to evangelize some. But it seems like when I get ready, I hit a block, and the enemy says, "Well, look, you're just a truck driver. What in the world are you doing out here?" So, number one, I would like for you guys to pray for me, that the Lord would help me fulfill this calling in my life. Number two, I do have to teach a class this Sunday morning. Give me a couple of quick Bible verses that I can take to the class. For those that say, "Well, I don't have to vote, I don't really agree with either side," but just give me a couple of Bible verses that I can take to the class that says it is our moral and Judeo-Christian biblical responsibility to vote. And I'll hang up and listen. And thank you for your time.
Philip, thank you, brother. We appreciate you more than anybody. Alex and I, we love them all, but truckers are really high on our list. We thank God for you. Don't ever say, "I'm just a trucker." You are a trucker and for Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. Let me give one scripture, Alex, and then we'll try to do that. We want to pray for Philip before we go. We're asking everybody, write Philip's name down, if you would, and pray for him to know and be secure in God's calling and equipping him for ministry. Alex, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, when we look at that, we think of stewardship. Stewardship for the believer is everything that God has given them, the money, the talents, the time. We have no we know that. But in America, He's given us citizenship. And that citizenship is we, the people. And when you are not a steward of your citizenship, you're not being faithful in the voting process and looking at the issues. I use that, and I believe it with all my heart, Alex.
Well, amen. And I agree that stewardship of our citizenship is a requirement. Let me give you guys a couple of verses about voting, if anybody would ask. And I'm going to start with a New Testament verse, and I'll give you a couple of Old Testament. Okay. And by the way, in Acts 16:22-25, Paul exerted his Roman citizenship. So Paul, I mean, if anybody was a true blue Christian through and through, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet he engaged in his Roman citizenship when it was necessary for the sake of the gospel. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, pray for kings and authority, for people in leadership, that, and it says that we may live a peaceable life in all godliness. So in other words, we Christians are to contribute to the peaceable culture most conducive for the spread of the gospel. But let me give you a few other things. All right, Psalm 22, 28. Now listen to this. Psalm 22:28 says, "Dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations." So if I can contribute to God's lordship over a nation, why would I not do that? Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people." So if I can vote for truth, goodness, the rule of law, the Constitution, if I can conversely vote against abortion, transgendering of children, all the liberal, godless, unrighteous agendas, then, Bert, if I can legally, morally, peaceably go cast a vote, voting for, to the best of my knowledge, righteousness, constitutional leaders, and I can help prevent the appointment of ungodly leaders, if I can help further Proverbs 14:34 and hold back the sin that is undoing our nation, why wouldn't I want to do that? And I got to tell you, I'm saying this not only as a minister, but as a teacher of constitutional history. Folks, if you're just being spiritual and saying, "I don't vote, oh, no Christian," I love you, but you're wrong. Christians are supposed to vote.
Let me suggest this. Yesterday, we had a special presentation here during Exploring the Word time, How to Vote Like Jesus. The pastor did an awesome job. You can go back and listen to that. Go to AFR and then .net, and then look to podcast, and then look at Exploring Missions that was aired Thursday. We'll be back more with your questions right after this break. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. Cause mountains move with just a little
faith. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back to the program. This is Fire Away Friday, where we take your calls and questions, and we've got a full board. We're going to do our very best to get as many in as we're able to. Bert, where do we go now?
Let's go to Arkansas. Jim, thank you for calling today. Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim. I think I can hear you. Are you there? Okay, we can't get through to Jim. He asked this question. We're just going to look at it. How much love can we give? Alex, the Bible says speak the truth in love.
In love.
And so even if they're enemies, we do good unto those that persecute us. So we can give a lot of love, and it's not us as much as it is Christ in us, is it?
Well, that's true. I think we can only truly love others as the Holy Spirit works in and through us. Do you know the Bible says that if we're born of God, we will love. Now, love means to seek the highest good of another. And I think the world just has sometimes some kind of mushy, blurry, vague definitions, but true biblical love is to seek the highest good of another. That being the case, I think the greatest form of love is to tell people God's truth.
Amen. Let's go to Sue in Texas. Sue, welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Loud and clear.
Okay. Hi, Alex and Bert. And Alex, I met you once in Belton, Texas years ago, and I bought your book.
Well,
so
thank
I really
you.
Enjoyed it.
God bless you. God bless you.
I'm guys, I'm really struggling in the church I'm in, and I got a comment and a couple of questions. Why do some Baptist churches don't want to anoint and pray for the sick? I am a Baptist, but I do believe in James 5:13-14. They say they'll pray for you, but they won't anoint you. So the question is, should I stay there, although I don't agree with this?
Okay, Sue, thank you for calling. Let me just share with you, and I like your question. Some Baptist churches, some do. I'll just be very frank with you. Alex, first time I did, I used more olive oil than I should have, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious or anything. But listen, a lot of people think that olive oil, it has two things, Alex, and I'll throw it to you. One, it is medicinal. It was a way of healing, and a lot of people interpret the book of James, seek the healing that's available. And the other is the presence of the Holy Spirit, Alex. And so I think it's one of those choices that you can or cannot. The emphasis is on prayer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, sister, I don't understand all the reasons that a church would or wouldn't allow that or affirm it. I say do it. I mean, it's in James 5:14. And the Word of God says, if anyone is sick among you, let him gather the elders of the church, let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, Bert, there is this symbolic, you know, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, because the oil signifies the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, you know, oil in one's lamp and the resulting bright light and fire. That's pictorial of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Bert, I'll say this and say it kind of, I don't know, humbly, but I think from the mid-20th century to really maybe in some quarters the present day, there was in some Baptist circles a reaction against the Pentecostal movement. And all I can think of, that I've been in a few churches that are so averse to anything that looks Pentecostal, they just, I do think they almost limit the work of the Holy Spirit and withhold blessings from the people. And I don't want to give you a lecture on mid-20th century American church history, but there were some moves of God that were, I mean, you saw like the book of Acts, and I think there were some quarters in the American church that scared them. And they, let me just say, don't miss out. I'm not advocating getting crazy or anything, but look, if it's the presence and the power and the work of God, I want to be a part of it, don't you?
Amen. I don't want to miss out on anything God has. I would suggest this, Sue. Now, I don't know if it's you wanting them to anoint you with oil and pray over you, but that's if you get sick and you are going to a doctor's appointment, you're looking at it and you want people to pray, ask them if they would and see what to do. If people don't ask, I see why Baptist churches or any other churches don't. But when a person, individual, reads Acts and sees that and they say, would you, Alex, I think that's what I would do, Sue. I wouldn't necessarily get out of there. I think there's you may not find the place that would do others and do all that, but I would ask them if that's your situation. And but I would ask them, would you do that and pray for me? So thank you, Sue. Let's go to, man, Texas is calling in today. Demetrius from Texas. Thank you for calling, Demetrius.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
So, the guy that called in about the, I guess, eternal security, Just wanted to make a comment on, you know, I did 25 years in federal prison, and I became a believer after being in and out of institutions since I was 12 years old. And when the Lord got a hold of me and broke my heart, it was done. It was over with. He did that on the cross for us one time on. I agree with everything you told that gentleman, that brother. The one thing, though, that I taught also was that yes, eternal security, you can't lose your salvation, but also we as Christians are not to abuse our liberty in Christ, Paul said.
Amen. Amen.
Correct?
You are Amen. Right. The two, Dr. Adrian Rogers, got to quote him for the week's over, Alex. He said exactly. The two things you want to avoid is license and legalism. And mm-hmm. those two, they're extremes. A license, oh, I'm saved, I can go anywhere. Or legalism, oh, man, I'm going to judge everything that is done. And so, Alex, Adrian Rogers, I think, stood on the Word of God, says, don't go there. And we try to do that on Exploring the Word, don't we?
Well, we really do. Not legalism, not license, but liberty.
Amen. Yeah. Live in that liberty. Demetrius, yeah. Thank you, brother. Let's stay. Texas. Okay. David in Texas. Thank you for calling. David, be sure and turn your radio off, and we're waiting on you, brother.
Okay, David.
One more time. David, are you there? We really want to talk Hello. With you.
I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now, David? David.
Hello.
Okay, let me ask the question, Alex, and David, hope you're listening on the radio. It's the question about the Jewish people that would not go into the Promised Land. Now, there's two groups, those at Kadesh Barnea that said, no, we're not going to go in. And then you had 2.5 tribes that said, we want to stay on the east side of the river. But Joshua says, oh, you can have this land, but guess what? You're going to go in and fight with us. Now, Alex, those are the two people that, you know, he may have been asking about. Would you comment on those?
Do you remember when we talked through the book of Hebrews, like in Hebrews 3, God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter into my rest. You know, I've often thought about those that stayed across the river and didn't enter the Promised Land as people that they hear about the gospel, they know about the gospel, but they never fully open their heart, put their faith in Christ, and get on board. It's very sad because as many as wanted to could have entered the Promised Land. Burden, I think it's almost like the whosoever will may come. I mean, the arms of Christ are open, but not everybody fully trusts in Jesus. Not everybody's willing to obey. Because entering the Promised Land for the ancient Israelites, just like coming to Christ today, it involves not only trust, but obedience, doesn't it?
It really does. And I've referred to it, I think, this week already. The old hymn, and if people don't like the old hymn the way it's written, I love it. But you could kind of redo it and give it a bridge. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Alex, that song gets the bottom line of the Christian life, you know, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it really does. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hey, if you're just thinking about your soul and you're wondering, have I really put my faith in Christ? Look, don't go halfway. You know, you've heard of the term median, the middle of the road. That's the Latin term that really just means to go halfway. The middle of the road is a place to get run over. Get on the side of Jesus Christ, not halfway, not partway, not procrastinate today. Know that you've got Christ in your life and boldly take stand for him. You'll find it's the best decision you've ever made.
If you need help with that and talk to somebody right now, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. They have people there that are really pray with you, help you to come to the realization of following Jesus Christ as Lord. We hope that helps. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Larry. Larry, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love you guys.
Thank you,
appreciate
brother.
It.
All right. Well, there's a verse in Scripture I'd just like to have your guys' take on it, where the Lord said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What did he mean by that?
Okay. Let me set it up, Alex. That's why I like to do it and hand it to you. We do that pretty good. But anyway, when you look at the context of that and you look at it, he's talking to people that thought, well, they were bragging about their sacrifices and everything they were doing, and yet they were lacking, Alex, you know? And God was getting, I'll say this and I'll throw it to you, God was getting to the heart of the matter, wasn't he?
Yeah, and do you remember how the Pharisees were questioning Jesus, and they were saying, you know, how is it that John's disciples we Pharisees fast often, but you guys and your disciples don't fast. Okay, you go back there, and Jesus knew that they were legalists, right? And Jesus had said to them, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And then that was Matthew 9:12. Then Matthew 9:13, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's a great, great verse. Now, here's my point about what he meant. The Pharisees, they did their sacrifices. They tithe mint and cumin. They were as upright. Vance Havner said this. He said they were straight as a gun barrel and every bit as empty, you know. And so I think what Jesus was saying in Matthew 9:13 was, look, if you've really gotten right with God, don't show me by how much religion you can engage in. Show mercy to people. Have a life filled with the fruits of the Spirit. If you've gotten, you know, real religion, quote unquote, it's not how much you're going to, you know, go in the temple and then be ruthless Sunday through Friday, because they would have been on a Saturday Sabbath. But if your life has really been changed by the Messiah, then you're going to have a heart of mercy, a life of love, a charity. Don't you think that's what he was talking about, Bert?
It exactly what he was talking about, I believe, with all my heart. They were as painted sepulchers. They were cleaned up on the outside, but on the inside, they were filled with dead men's bones. Now, Alex, that's a word picture. That's what we're trying. If you're religious, quote, you go to church, you tithe, and that's what you're basing your salvation on, rather than a time in your life when Jesus Christ became real in that relationship, and what followed was the obedience. Remember that song? Trust and obey. Not obey and trust, but trust and obey. That is the relationship with Christ. Make sure it is secure in Him, asking Him to forgive you, asking Him to be Lord of your life. I pray that's happened. Well, we got time for one more call here today, and we're looking forward to it, and it's Tom in Tennessee. Tom, thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I was responding to your comments about voting, and what I decided to do was I had a really hard time making up my mind because I didn't like I don't want Harris to be the president at all, and it bothered me so much that Trump and Vance were for some amount of abortions, and I didn't like that, so I thought about doing like Isaiah told the Israelites to in Isaiah 30, don't turn to Egypt for help with Assyria, turn to the Lord. But I was listening to the radio and ministers in person, and everybody, you know, they're much wiser than me and know a lot more. And I even called you two and got to ask your opinion. So I finally decided, well, you know, I don't feel good about, I don't really know what I should do for sure, but all these Christian brothers and sisters that are, I know they're wiser and love the Lord better than me, and they're saying to go ahead and vote and continue praying, you know, like crazy for the country. So that's what I decided to go ahead and do. You think that's the right decision?
Tom, I do believe. Let me share this with you. There's never been a perfect candidate, never has been. And I can say this, Alex, and you take it away and take it out, and is you're always voting for the lesser, hopefully, of two evils. Because man, inherently, so that's what you're doing. Which one would cause a greater ability to preach the gospel? Alex, I think it's clear. Go ahead, brother.
Well, brother, thank you for being so conscientious and praying about your voting and all of that. Hey, by the way, do be in church on Sunday, and don't forget that Sunday is the day to pray a prayer for the persecuted church all around the world. So thank you for listening. We're going to resume. We've got a real special show on Monday. We really do.
You'll
tune in.
Alex,
so,
where are you preaching? You preaching this
Mount
week?
Pleasant Church, just
Amen.
Outside of Greensboro.
Well, Amen.
Thanks, folks.
Yes.
God bless you one and all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.